You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf, and we're holding at the very last line on Sadi Tet Abud Beit. So, we're going to have some very, very important sugyot today, so we have to keep careful attention. The Mishnah said, as a matter of fact, why don't we turn back and read it once again in the Mishnah, that in a case where the Gidah Nasha was Itbashel with other Chatichot, then you need to do as follows, says the Mishnah. If you took out the Chaticha, because you know which one it is, Bizman Shemakiro, so then you get rid of it. And your only problem is benotin tam. But bizman she'eino makiro, how about if you don't know which one it is? Imlaf kulon asurot. All of the gidim are awesome. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, the same thing would be true of a chaticha shel nevela, or a chaticha shel dag tamei. So you have a piece of non-kosher meat, or a piece of non-kosher fish. If you know which piece it is among the pieces, you could take it out and then analyze whether it's benotin tam. If not, you can't eat any of it. And today, of course, the Gemara is concerned with the obvious question. Why can't you eat any of it? Whatever happened to Bittul Barov? Remember, there's two different issues. There's the issue of taste. And that could be dependent on the Pasek, if Tam Ke'ikr, whether it's only Minarabonan, or... But certainly, taste has to be dealt with. But the Mishnah is saying, even if you deal with the taste, you'll never be able to eat this, because maybe you're eating a Gidah Nasha. If there's no issue of taste, let's say that they weren't cooked together. A gid anasha falls into a pot before you cook it. So there's no taste. Falls into a pot with two other gidim. It's all kosher, because you don't say shishim, you say bato barov, where you just have no tam issue. Shishim is a question of taste. It's not a question of bittul. So dinan etarovis, you need shishim. So if you're not dealing with taste, they weren't cooked together. So you say, okay, you got two kosher things, one non-kosher thing, so it's all kosher. So what's the difference if you also cooked it? You dealt with the taste. You're saying there's shishim. Fine. So now what are you left with? Pieces. No. So you're telling me two pieces to one, I can't eat it? Lift up a rope, asked the Gemara. Why can't the Gidah Nasha be bottle in the mixture of the other Gidim? Says, of course, it normally, a normal case of Issa would. However, the case over here is that the Gidah Nasha is an organism. It's a specific organism, a piece of meat. It's a specific, defined in the Torah organism. The Gid Anasha is never batel, therefore, because it has too much hashibut to be batel. And in that case, if you don't know which one it is, then forget it. You're not allowed to eat it.
Birya
if
it's whole?
Yeah. It's only a birya if it's whole. What defines whole, says the Ramah, what defines whole is only the sha'alakaf. That's not a contradiction. Because that, in other words, you're saying, this is not the whole sciatic nerve, and therefore, why is it a birya? No, we mean the birya that the Torah identifies, whatever that is. So even if you would take out the whole thing, this is the part that the Torah was answering in your ayatah. This is the birya. So it's a birya, not as defined biologically. Which, I mean, why is the sciatic nerve a biological entity? I mean, it's a piece of the nervous system. But what's defined by the Torah as the Yisr? So the same way the Torah says, don't eat an ant. No, okay, so then an ant is a birya. Of course, that means whether it's alive or dead. It makes no difference. Okay, chaticha shel nevela. Now, wait a minute. This makes very good sense for the first part, but how do you explain the second part? You say if you have a piece of steak, or you have a piece of trefa fish. So you have like a serving of swordfish. That's not batel. That's not a birya. Why wouldn't that be batel? And yet the Mishnah says it's exactly the same thing. If you don't know which piece it is, forget it. You're not going to be able to eat any. Why not? Betivatel beruba. Now, there is a way out of this. But it doesn't work according to everybody. The way out of it is dependent on a machlokas that we've seen many times between Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about how to understand the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and since this is Stam Mishnah, we're assuming it's going on the Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah in Orla, in Masechet Orla. So over there, we have the source of the idea, that whatever is darko limanot, whatever is normally counted, and it's sold by the piece, is too chashev to be bought. Now, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in the exact phrasing of Rabbi Meir Shita. Is it anything which is counted, or is it that which is counted? The difference being, if it's saying et shedarka limanot, that which is specifically counted, it would be something that would never be sold by weight. It's always sold by the unit. If it's kol shedarka limanot, then it would mean whatever you may utilize by counting sometimes. So for instance, if you're talking about, let's say somebody's inviting 100 guests. He's not going to sit there weighing his meat. He's got pieces of meat. He says, okay, how many pieces do I got? He counts them. So then under those circumstances, this would be something that's counted. I got 100 pieces of swordfish. I got enough to feed my guests. Since, according to that lashon of kol shedarka limanot, something which might be used in terms of counting, so then we have an answer. Okay, a chaticha shel nevela could be counted as a unit. And therefore, the chachamim were geyser, that even though normally we say bitul berov, these things which are chashuv, just as a birya, or something which is counted, are too chashuv to be bottled. Because after all, the concept of bitul means that it no longer retains any individual identity. But something which is a birya, by definition, retains individual identity. Something which is chashuv to be as a unit, not counted, by definition, retains individual identity. So it doesn't seem correct to apply to it an idea of bitul when I'm looking right at it, and I still care about it. What's the difference whether I can identify it or not? It seems silly to say it's just not there. Of course it's there. So then, let's take a look at the more inside. So, if you go according to the Mandi Amar who holds that the language that Rabbi Meir used in the Mishnah in Orla was kol shedar kol limanot shaninu, that's the correct girsa. So then anything which would be counted is never going to be bottle. Okay, then you say that the Mishnah over here is giving two examples, one of a birya and one of a darko limanot. Neither of them will be bottle. But if you learn that Rabbi Meir never said any such thing, and what Rabbi Meir had actually said in Masechet Orla was, etch a darko limanot, something which is uniquely handled by the unit, and would never be just lumped together, lumped together. Okay, I got a pound of diamonds for you. It's ridiculous, right? The whole idea is that it's each individual unit is kosher. So it's shayach says bottle. And therefore, this would not be an example of something like that. I mean, this is usually it's sold by the pound. A pound of swordfish would like, how many pieces are in the pound? So over there, there's no excuse for the Mishnah saying that the piece of swordfish won't be bottle. Why shouldn't it be bottle? Michael Amema. And says the Gemara, you're missing a whole idea. We're not coming to this because of counting. We're coming to this because of portioning. And that's a whole different thing. A portion is chashuv. Whether it's because it's counted or not counted, that's not the idea. It's since it's a chaticha, to you, somebody comes into your house, you're going to be able to feed them this and feel like you're a mensch, it's chashuv to you. Nothing to do with Rabbi Meir. It's a different quality of chashivut. So you have one concept called birya, which is ever bottle. Another concept of etchadaka limanot, which is never bottle. Another concept of achaticha ru'iyalahit kabeidba bifnei orchim, which is never bottle. So they have nothing to do with each other. And we need both examples, even though the idea is a similar idea. Birya and achaticha ru'iyalahit kabeid, the underlying logic of it is that it retains an individual identity, and therefore it doesn't make sense that it should simply disappear, so to speak, in a tarovet. Tzricha. The e ashwinan gid. Let's say the Mishnah only said, you got to know what the gid is, because otherwise, well, I'd say, okay, that's because birya is an objective concept. It has nothing to do with the subjective value to me. This is what the Torah asks. So I could say, okay, I understand. That gives it a chashivut, it will not be bought. But a chaticha, I mean, it may be chashiv to me, but it doesn't have any objective chashivut. I intend to use it to serve. I mean, great. And if I was a storekeeper and I wasn't looking at it like that, so it wouldn't be chashuv. It would only be chashuv as a piece of meat that I'm throwing onto the scale. Another piece of salami. What's the big deal? So I would think maybe you can't measure chashivut by something so subjective. Kamash malan, that even that. And on the other hand, let's say it would have said, Ashminan b'chaticha. I would say, okay, chaticha is to me important because I value it, and therefore
for me to look at it as not being there because it's in a mixture is silly. But to get on that, shall we say, technically speaking, it's defined as a unit then. What do I care? There's no meaning to me. I got to get rid of it. That's all. So I would say there it's not chashuv in the sense that it should be non-bittalable. So Gidon Noshe Emelah comes along the Mishnah to say both cases. You should understand whether we're dealing with the concept of objective chashivut because the Torah says this is the Yisr, objective chashivut because the Torah says, or subjective chashivut because I can use it to feed my guests. The bottom line is that the underlying concept is the same. That which has a chashivut for any reason cannot be bought.
It's a question whether it's a birya or is that a machlokes?
No. I would just say birya is not enough of a reason not to be bottled. Right. In other words, these are all judgment calls, so to speak. Rabbanan are extending the concept of tarogas into a way for us to look at it. It's like, yes, halachically speaking, there's a concept of bittul barov. Okay, but you know, that's like saying that here's the algorithm. But in terms of your relationship to the world, how do you relate to it? You relate to it as if it's not there when it's something that retains its importance to you and you're still going to be counting it, and it's a little weird. Or you're going to relate to it as if it's not there when the Torah said this is the specific, unique thing which is there. And therefore, they were gozer to extend the din of presence and the shear of it so that it wouldn't apply in this case. Okay, but anything else is bottle barov, which of course changes the entire concept, Rabosai, of the problem that people have with things like shratzim and bugs and so on and so forth. You know, you're going to be over on a million isurim and so on and so forth. Obviously, that's not the case. It's bottle like anything else is bottle. The Rabbanan word goes there, but in a case where something has that chashivut of a birya, not to be mevatel it. Obviously, if the thing is not nicker to anybody, then it's still going to be bottle. It's the technicality of birya is something that you note as being the birya, and I see it there. When I don't see it there, and lamais, it's become botel to me, you don't have to go crazy to discover it there. It's the same idea as somebody taking a magnifying glass and looking at these. There's no point in such a thing. What you're looking at is a complete mixture where the thing has no presence at all. And therefore, of course, it's going to be botel. It's botel in 1,000. I mean, it's botel in 20,000. It's crazy. You're saying, but if I discovered the birya, I would have, that's true, you would. But as far as you're concerned, you're going to be mazik and isser that there's a birya there because the rabbanan said if there is a birya there, so then it'll never be bottle. I mean, that makes no sense. Okay, continue. So says the Gemara, therefore, we have two. This is very important, and Richie came in late and missed like one of the most important sugyas in the entire Shas. It's the Gemara every single day, and but what can you do? It's okay. After all, we live through many, many times going through Shas. You know, it only takes 7 years. I mean, why not do 1,000 of them? I mean, what 7,000 years here and there, you know? There's no problem, you know? It's endless. It's endless.
I love you.
You're right. On the issue of okay. Now Tosis raises a very fascinating issue here, which is a big discussion in the Gemara. Can the same person eat all of the pieces? In other words, is this a hanhaga? You have a right to rely on rov. But if you're eating all the pieces, you know you're eating the Gidon Asha, so then you're not relying on rov. Or is it a definition of what is kosher? That's a big machlokes we've shown it. Tosfos raises the possibility that maybe for the one person to eat all of it when he knows that it's aser, maybe bittul only tells you how you can act. It doesn't tell you what is. It's a shaila, which we'll continue to talk about as we go along. But it's an interesting point that he just sort of throws in as a throwaway line at the end. Maybe for the same guy, it would be aser to eat. First does. Okay, let us continue. We're beginning to raise now some central issues. All right. Figure by the time Rich, that you're 85, you will have learned this another couple of times. By then it should be clear. Yeah, yeah, and if not, you can get it when you're 92, you know, 92 and a half. Look, you know, if it doesn't work then, you know, you're your 100th birthday, it should be fine, you know. You know, and if not, Bezrat Hashem at 107.5, I mean, yeah, you will have learned it another four times.
Maybe by that time
it's bound to get in somewhere. You know, there's no hurry. There's no hurry. Just take it easy. Remember that wonderful story of the guy who had never finished Gritut and the Daf Yomi, who was dying in the hospital. He said, I cannot die until they finish Gritut. And he didn't. The day they finished, he did. Darash Rabba Barbachana. So now when Rabba Barbachana got up to give his drosha of valor, he used to give over a halakhic drosha and the kala in front of the tzibur, he would tell them the practical application of halakha. So he said, look, you know, these cases that we had over here in the Mishnah of a piece of non-kosher meat or a piece of swordfish or whatever, these cases, where if you're going to be analyzed, we're talking over here when you knew what the piece was, you took it out afterwards, so you don't have the problem that you really get covered. You're only dealing with shishim, is their tal. So you should know that it's not going to be usur just because it's, so you had only another 40 pieces. You didn't have another 60 pieces. That would be a mistake because you don't only analyze the pieces. I mean, you've got a whole pot here that's got maybe 2 gallons of water in it that you're cooking with, and ketchup and spices and all kinds of other stuff. So you got to look at whether you have a tom in this entire mixture. So it would have to include, it's not going to oser the other pieces. In oseret, achetitein tom. It's going to have to go through the sauce, it's going to have to get into the gravy, and all the other pieces that are in the pot. So you really have a lot more leeway than you think. Don't just count
the whole volume.
The entire volume. Rav hears this, he immediately turns on his loudspeaker, which of course consists of an amora in those days. You know, the Rav didn't give the drush, he whispered the drush in the ear of the amora. We would then get up and explain it to the tzibur. So Uki Rav Amora Aleve Darash. No, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Kivan Shinatan Tam Bechaticha. If there was one piece, now that piece that it gave a taste into, we'll explain this in a minute, that piece becomes a nevela itself. Chaticha Atzmana Seit Nevela. And then it will answer every other piece in this pot because it's min b'mina. Now, this is the most outrageous statement for many, many reasons. If it's really min b'mina, it would start off as min b'mina. What do you mean if it gave a taste in the next piece? It is the same piece. Why do we need it to give the piece in the next piece? That's one issue that makes absolutely no sense. The other question is, what do you mean if it gave a taste in another piece? But it's giving a taste to all of the pieces. Why would I measure only the piece next to it? This is really weird. What is he talking about? So, first of all, let's take the most simple explanation. What Rav wanted to do is to have a comeback to the statement of Rabbi Barbachana, which would address every doubtful piece of what Rabbi Barbachana had said, and force you to analyze whether, even though obviously there are times when Rabbi Barbachana may in fact be correct, it would force you to analyze the assumptions that are being made and why you need to be a lot more careful than listening to a simple psak like that. Therefore, he said something which is really, on the surface, makes no sense at all. We're going to have to tease it apart to figure out what he was trying to say, what the issues that he was raising are. Now, in order to just, let's create a simple case where what Rav was saying would have application. I'm listening to Rabbi Barbachana. Suppose Rav would say to me, now hold on a minute, you are making an assumption that what you're going to be looking at now is the total volume against the source of the iser, right? Well, let me ask you something. Suppose you had a pot that was boiling, okay, and a piece of non-kosher meat falls into this pot, right on top. It's not inside the sauce, but it's right on top of another piece of meat. Okay, now you've got to start thinking to yourself, what happens to that piece of meat if I pull out that piece?
Oh,
I see it fall, I immediately pull it out. So it has not now, it has not ushered the entire pot, it hasn't fallen into the... As a matter of fact, I'll give you another case. How about a case where a piece of meat falls in, there's another piece of meat in the pot, you take out the piece of meat that's strayed, and now you add all the other pieces of meat, and you find out that that first piece of meat wasn't kosher. So you're going to say, well, you know, Rabbi Bar Chana said, as long as I have ultimate meat, man, I mean, like, this is even better. Because now, I don't have to worry about the whole taste of that piece. We got it out before the other pieces were even there. So you're going to say, okay, that's great. So the first thing I want you to know is, it's not great. Why? Because you need to first make an analysis about whether the initial piece that was exposed on its own to the piece of Isser, if it absorbed any taste, it becomes Isser. So now you're going to make the mistake of thinking, if I remove the piece of the vela, that I'm only have to analyze, okay, but we got tons of other stuff in here. We certainly don't have... That's not true. You have another piece of the vela in here. Because the piece that was originally davuk to this piece, either because there was nothing else in the pot, or because it was above the water that was in the pot at that time, whatever the situation is, we'll get into that later, you have to analyze that piece first. That piece has become an avela even on its own. And therefore, you're going to have to analyze this piece as well in order to figure out if you really have 60 kineged, the whole thing. Now let's not worry about, there's a lot of implications even in these words. We'll get back to them. I want to do this gradually because this is really just about the central page that deals with all of these issues in all of Shas. So what Rav is saying on the simple level is first the chaticha will be an avela, now you're going to need to be bevatalit. But you can't be bevatalit because it's min bemino with the other chatichot. And therefore, bad news. Now, of course, the problem is that, wait a second. Again, if it's min bemino, the original taste in there was also min bemino. The first piece of meat that fell in. So why are we talking about whether it gave taste to the piece next to it? It's all min bemino. Boom, bye-bye. It's not bottle. He's saying min bemino is not bottle. If he holds that shita like Rabbi Yehuda, so then he should have said, no, there's no such thing as taste. You're talking about chatichot. They're all going to be usher because min bemino is usher. What is he getting involved in? This problem of whether chaticha atzman has satan vela and so on, it's an extremely confusing statement. So that's the first thing the Gemara wants to ask. Ask the Gemara, now hold on a second. What is going on over here? Michte. I mean, look, Rav is obviously, come on, what's the whole basis of the Shita here? Like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that min bemino is not batel, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying once the second piece is a nevela, now everything is going to be answered because all of the pieces are going to be the same min. So then, that's Rabbi Yehuda, damar min bemino lo batel. So then, why do we need that ridiculous first step of the piece of the original nevela giving a taste into the piece next to it, which would only be nogea if min bemino, how much taste you're going to be, min bemino. But min bemino, it's not nogea, because the first piece was already min bemino. So the moment that it falls into the pot, everything becomes usher anyways. What are we saying? So then afilu kilonatan nami. Why didn't Rav just get up and say, excuse me, gentlemen, pay no attention. Min bemino is not bought. That's all he needed to say. Oh, Marley, yeah, you don't understand. Rav is covering all of the angles of the statement. He's talking about a case where you took out the piece of Isser before it affected anything else. So he wants to tell you more than just the fact that min bemino is not bought. He wants to tell you that even if you don't have min bemino anymore, now you add the other pieces. Or now the piece goes into the rotub and it's able to spread its taste, whatever the case may be.
The second piece.
You might think, okay, but now we don't have a problem because we didn't have an Isser. Kamash Malan, hold on a minute. The first piece that came into contact with the Isser has been turned entirely into Nevela. Now you're still, even if you think you got rid of the Isser, you get rid of the Isser. It's right there, buddy. And you cook the whole pot with this Isser. And therefore, the entire thing is going to be Asur. So he's coming to tell us a number of different issues that we need to take into consideration. Rabba Amar, that's not the point. That's not the point. Even if he hadn't taken it out, what Rava is saying is like this. What you, initially, let's say that we had the piece of Isser that's here, and this Isser as well, this piece of Heter as well, right? And therefore, it should be there. Nonetheless, I want to explain to you why it would not have Aser, even though it's Min Bimino. You know why? Tell me something. In the gravy in this pot, if you've got Min Bimino, I mean, I noticed you put in water, ketchup, spices, and so on. So you've got a whole pot full of 2 gallons of gravy. Okay. Now, what is the din where you've got pieces of Min Bimino, and you've got all these other things which are not Min Bimino? What's the din? The din over there is not that we look at, oh, what, all things are Min Bimino is not bought. No. First, we decide whether, if we ignore all the minai, would we have enough eno mino to be mavata the time of the min? That's the first step.
Of the yisr.
Okay, so let's say that first piece fell in. And now it falls into a pot that has another 100 pieces, chatichot, which were all min bimino. They are going to make things worse, not better. Ah, but the rule is, hold on, set them aside. They're not affected when something falls in. Because we first have to determine whether there's a time of an Isser to affect them. If we set them aside and there's enough enomino that's left to be shishim, kenega that first piece, which is quite common.
Potatoes, onions.
Yeah, whatever else is in there.
Gravy.
Then the piece is bottle. There's no problem. Now the whole thing is kosher, even though it's all min bimino. The reason that Rav stated it that way, but wait a minute, maybe first it fell a one piece, now that piece is becoming available. Ah, that's the chiddush. Now you got to add that piece to the equation, and you're going to say, okay, but do you have 60 kinnig of that piece? No. So then you got a problem. So, two pieces. So in other words, he's coming, we're going to see in a minute whether this adds up according to our first approach in Rav. Let's take it step by step. As I said, it's quite a complex story over here. So, now, the question is, let's take the first question. What's the logistics? How exactly would we first determine that the adjacent piece becomes usher? That's question number one. Where we said, well, you know, if the chaticha atzman asis neveo, but he says, kivan shenatan tam bechaticha. That's very confusing. Why kivan shenatan tam bechaticha? A piece of nevela falls into min bimino of non nevela. What does that have to do with tam? I thought you hold it min bimino is not bottle. Fine, but the moment that it falls, it's min bimino, not bottle. So now the other pieces in the pot are all nevela because it wasn't bottle. What are you telling me that it, since it, you're contradicting yourself. You're saying, since it gave taste to the next piece, that piece becomes an avela. Then that piece, even if it doesn't give taste, because it's min bimino, not bata, and the first piece that fell in was also no taste. So, what do you have to come on to taste, right? Okay, so you see clearly from there that the din that he's telling us of chatikana seit nevela is not true because of min bimino. It's not true that when something is osur, it becomes a nevela. What's true is merely that if it contains the taste of the other thing, then it becomes nevela. But not if it's osur, it doesn't become nevela. So Rav himself, you need nesina stam to make it a nevela. Then you get into the problem of it's being min bimina. But if you didn't have that nesina stam up front, the fact that it was min bimino just says you're not allowed to eat it. It doesn't say in itself became a new heftz of Isser. There's no other way of understanding what he's saying. Correct? No? Rav says that if the first piece that falls in fell in a way that would only affect one piece, now whatever the logistics of that is, it, like Tosfos, the other pieces weren't even there. Or
the mechanism of
Tom, he says, Ivajanatan Tom. That's what he says. Then he turns around an instant later and he says, and of course, once that piece becomes osir, then it's going to osir everything because you don't worry about the taste. Because min bimino osirs, with or without taste. So then why did he talk about taste in the first part of the sentence? That's the contradiction, right? So what we need to say is that whatever the mechanism is, according to Tosfos, the pieces were above. There was a big pot, The top piece wasn't in the sauce. This piece of Isser falls on that piece, sits there, not in the water. You remove it, then you close the pot, and the water boils up. Or, according to Rashi, there was only one piece in the pot. Falls into the pot, you take it out, now you throw in the other piece. Then you find out it was in the veil.
You should have taken the second piece out, too.
Or, Rashi uses a different lashon, which is very ambiguous, and has a lot of implications in halacha, a lot of discussion in halacha, where something is connected continuously, what precisely that means, that it was all one piece initially, or something, that isn't clear what Rashi means. So let's talk about the simple case. We're going to have to worry about why a piece that's adjacent would be more usher than other pieces if things are being spread through a medium. In this case, would be the sauce. We'll ignore Rashi's opening gambit for the simple cases, right?
Well, how can we distinguish the taste if this is the same meaning?
By shishin. Yeah, that's what we said. If we can't, that's what's our rule. If you can't distinguish the taste, then you assume the taste is b'shishin, right? Kol Yisroel Shabbatai. Fine, that's a given. We're not going to get into details here. Or b'meyah, according to Bar Kapara, the other lush. We're not talking about that. Whatever it is, that's what it is. Okay. So now what we're forced to say, therefore, is that this second piece only became an avela because of the fact that it has the tam of the Isser in it. Correct? Okay, so now, what does that mean? So as the Rabbeinu Tam says here in Tosfos, and this is the centerpiece of the Halacha, you're looking on the wrong page, it's Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, as the Rabbeinu Tam says in the last Tosfos, let's even take a look at it, you know, because it's so chashuv. V'im tomar, lama li shechaticha shel heter kibla tam min hanevela, why do you need the tam then? Afilu lo netna tam. It would still be Osir because Bimina, Rav says Osir Bechoshu. Mim Bimina is Osir Bechoshu. So what do we need that it should be a Tam? The question that we just raised. Amud Aleph, the Tosis Bishakadam Vesilka. You're looking at Amud Beit. So you're on the wrong page. Kuf Amud Aleph. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, that it's all very nice to say that it's Osir because of Mim Bimina. That you're not allowed to eat it. You're still, the fact that something is usher doesn't mean it's a piece in a vela. It means you're not allowed to usher it because it's a min bimino of something that was usher. But it doesn't magically turn it into something which is a primary source of usher. That requires a taste. I mean, it doesn't have any real taste of Isser. It's just this chumrah min b'mino that you can't be mavato the time. Now, what is the implication, however, of such a thing? Because you have to ask yourself, does that mean that when we talk about chatkana sikna vela in this context, that we don't really mean that the Isser has turned this into primary Isser?
The whole piece.
What we really mean is that whatever impact of the original taste is here remains usher, despite the fact that now it's spreading throughout the whole thing. What are the implications about saying that it's not the isser that makes it an avela, it's the taste that makes it an avela? What does that mean? What, is it the taste that's usher? Or once the taste ushers it, then magically the entire thing becomes an avela, but only because taste has ushered it? Not because Isser is Isser. What's the logic behind such a thing? That's the point. Okay, and here comes the very important shita of the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim haya omer mitoch kach, in attempting to have the Copenhagen interpretation of why it would be that if there's a tam, then we would magically say chaticha nasik nevela. But if there's just Isser, we don't say chaticha nasik nevela. The philosophical implications of such a thing is that it's really the tam that's the problem, obviously, and not the isser. But if it, late, please wait, but if it's the tam that's the problem, then you don't really mean the chaticha nasik nevela. All that you mean is, if a 2-ounce piece of meat fell on this piece, which is 6 ounces, now I took out the 2-ounce piece of meat, I'm left with the 6 ounces. So the simple interpretation of chaticha nasik nevela is that you now have 6 ounces of Isser, right? But if you're learning that it's only the taste, you couldn't possibly have invested 2 ounces and suddenly created 6 ounces. And if you hold the iser is what turns something into the veil, then it should have nothing to do with the amount of taste. Therefore, I'm forced to the conclusion, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that it is not what it seems to be. It isn't really chatika nasid nevela. You know where you get into the issue of chatika nasid nevela, where you've got 6 ounces of iser? I'll tell you where. A drop of milk falls on a piece of meat. And now there's not shishim keneged the milk. Okay. So you'll say, okay, so I have one drop of iser. No, you don't. You've got 6 ounce steak of iser. It's all basar v'chala. Of course, because it's the mixture. That's the iser. There we say chatika nasid nevela. The piece has become a new prime iser, not just a prime steak. What's that? Whatever the shear is, but you don't measure it by the milk. You don't measure the taste anymore. You measure the entire thing has become a nevela. But you don't turn a non-nevela 6 ounce steak into a nevela because it has 2 ounces. Even if you want to say the entire taste magically went into here, it's still only going to be 2 ounces of taste. Therefore, let's take a look inside. Therefore, yeah, fine. So do you have 60 connected or don't you have 60 connected?
The connected what is the question?
Exactly. So Rabbeinu Ephraim haya omer mitochka. Da filu ki natna batam. Therefore, the implications are, logically, that even if it did absorb the taste, that wouldn't mean that the heter itself becomes a prime source of nevela. Inach heter na sik nevela, that you would now need 60 times the 6 ounce steak, keneged kol hachaticha. You could never require more than the original isur that was balua. You'll only need keneged ha-isur ha-balua.
2 ounces.
Therefore, Hilkov, if Rav is saying over mim b'mino is not bought, okay? In a case where the chatichat heter kibla tam min ha-nevela, the point over here is that b'nogea min b'mino, we are looking at the original piece as if it's still here. That's the point. If the original piece is still here, you're right, it's only 2 ounces. I don't give a hang how many ounces it is. The point is it's min b'mino, and therefore it's always going to be also, whether it's 1 ounce, a half an ounce, tenth of an ounce, I don't care. I really don't care. It's still here. Where is it? It's present in this other piece. The whole piece? No, not the whole piece. 2 ounces of it. So, min b'mino, makes a difference to you whether it's 2 ounces or 6 ounces. All that Rav is saying is that chaticha na'aseh nevela means that for all intents and purposes you have a piece of nevela still in your mixture, even though you removed the original piece of nevela. But it's not magically going to turn all 6 ounces into nevela, but that's irrelevant from min b'mino.
And it would not go by 6 or 6 miles, right?
What? Not if your min b'mino is not bato. That's the point. It's not also because of tam. That's what chaticha nasid nevela means. It's as if it's a piece of nevela, not the taste of nevela. But it still doesn't mean that there's an actual nevela that has magically been transformed right here by dubbing nevela. So that then if you take that piece and you put it into enoy minoy, oh, Lord, you need 6 ounces. You're going to need 60 times 6 ounces. No, you won't. You need 60 times 2 ounces.
That only works by basar v'chala, because that's the shnei heterim starts from the iser.
What only works? Yes, correct. So that, Rabbeinu Ephraim, Tosfos goes on to say that the true meaning of chaticha naaseh nevela is something else. But over there, if it falls into a something, lo natna nevela tam, let's say if there was no time in that adjacent piece. So then how could it ask to the other chatichot because it's mina? Why would it be? It's not there anymore. You would only have to be mabata the chelik of the iser. And if lo nat natam bechaticha, and you took away the iser, so where's the iser? There's no iser. There's no min b'mino. There's nothing here. Hay iser kamanda lete. It's as if it's not there. Because it's the lo havet yilu v'en. It's not considered to be present. And it never answered that first chaticha rishana. Because the heter doesn't magically turn into iser. V'davka gabe tipat chalav. It's only in the case where chalav falls on a steak. There we say that you need chaticha atzman aset nevela v'tzorich shishim keneget kol hachaticha. Well, obviously, You can't be mavato the milk. You have to be mavato the meat and milk mixture. The meat and milk mixture is a 6-ounce steak. That's the point. You're not going to now take this piece of bosa b'chalav mixture, put it into a large pot, and say, "Oh, there's so much meat in this pot. That little bit of milk that fell in is irrelevant." It's too late to talk about the milk that fell in. The milk already turned the whole giant steak into bosa b'chalav. You can't now come and say, "Okay, but now we'll do it again." You'll do it again. The steak is aser.
Shishim.
If there's less than shishim, it'll all be bosa b'chalav. What's going on over here? People walking out of this most important day? He's a little younger. He can afford to wait till he's on.
If a 2-ounce piece of meat falls on a 6-ounce piece, and you take it right off, how is it that the whole piece is what it called, rather than just the surface where each touch, rather than the whole...
Doesn't matter. Let's say it's the surface. Let's say it's a tenth of a centimeter. Who cares? It's min bimino, is asr the kosher.
Okay, fine.
The only issue was if I got it out of here. And what Rob is saying is, you didn't really get it out of here now, did you?
Well, let's talk about the milk.
I mean, the case of the milk is true in certain circumstances.
Sometimes
you can, if it's dry, it's not boiling. And so on. We're going to see all those halachas later on in the parak that deals with bosa b'chalav. We don't need to deal with it over here. But clearly, of course, there are going to be different opinions. If something is salted, is something in the process of exuding blood? Is something hot? Is it dry hot? Is it wet hot? Is it oily? All of these issues we'll discuss, but they're not relevant to the theory of the thing. The theory of the thing is once bosa b'chalav is bosa b'chalav, it's a chatichas iser. That's the point. Okay. So therefore, we have a brilliant statement by Rav, an instantaneous response that blows open the whole sugya and forces the listener to question everything that he just heard. Because he's been taken for granted that it doesn't matter how it fell, we only look at what came in front of us. And it doesn't matter whether there is sauce, or there isn't sauce, whether it's made out of ketchup, or whether it's all meat sauce, or... Oh my God, it all is part of the equation, says Rob. What are you simplifying things for over here? Not to mention the fact that you didn't even raise the halakhas, I believe, which is min b'mino is in bottle. So Rob has impact both on the min b'mino problem and on the min b'sheino mino in the sense that look at mino k'misheino and then look at eno mino rabba, lavam avatlo first. There it's also nogea. But, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's not nogea in the sense that you need to have all 6 ounces, which is the simple meaning. That isn't the point that he's making. Zakta Helika Mishnah, go ahead, sir.
Zakta Helika Mishnah.
The ginanosh is noheg in an animal which is kosher, but not in a non-kosher animal. So the ginanosha of a little piggy is not a ginanosha. Now, I mean, that sounds like maybe the old problem we had of Isser Chalal Isser. It can't be a Gid Anasha because it's already Osir because it's Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda on there, no, it is Noeg Bitzmeya. Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove it to you. Halo mi bnei Yaakov nesargat Gid Anasha. This is my sheet to remember.
They
could still eat and not kosher animals. So at that point, it wouldn't make a difference, would it? So it must be, that's how we read it in a naive way. Since initially it didn't make a difference, now it also wouldn't make a difference. In a more sophisticated way, we would look at that and say, well, what does that have to do with the Isser? The Isser doesn't come from there. The Isser comes from the way that it's been given on our Sinai, where it is no Gea. Ah, but what he may mean, and we already saw this, is that it's an Isur Chamur because it was Chal before Matan Torah. All right? So we have two different levels. We have a naive way of reading it, in which the Tanakhama is simply saying, nothing to do with complications, I've never heard of Isser Chalal Isser, what's that? Very simple. You don't need to get on the shed, because yeah, it only applies to animals that you would eat anyway. If you're not going to eat the animal, why is it, what does that do with that? Ken lo yachol good on the shed? And Rabbi Yehuda is replying, no, because when it was originally said, you would eat any kind of animal, so, and at that point you need to get on the shed. So when did it change? Ralomi ben yakom nesagir on the shed, adayim beimat meyav is still muteret lehen. Amrulo, to which they said, that pasuk does not mean what you think it means. You didn't hear yesterday's chumash here. That pasuk was said hundreds of years later. And then it was just applied as if it took place then, historically. But it was B'Sinai Ne'emar, and then when the Torah was written, it was put into place, Nichtav B'Mekomo, so that you should see the interrelationship. But it doesn't mean that. And therefore, at that point, everybody said, ooh, we cannot eat the Ginon Nash. They weren't aware of it. Now wait a minute, says the Gemara. So if you're saying that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be noiv with the Behema Tameya. So in other words, what you're saying is that you're going to be chayev both for the fact that this is a piece of Behema Tameya and for the fact that it's a Gidon Nasha. But don't you get into a problem? This is a halal, is there? Vatanya, I thought Rabbi Yehuda holds. You might think that in the same way, if you swallow a piece of dead chicken without shechita, so the halacha would be that you become tamei as you swallow it, right? So you might think that if it's a dead crow, you'd also become tamei, and your clothes would be tamei. Talmud lomar nevelav treifa lo yochal letam aba. You must not eat an avela or a treifa, and if you eat it, then you will become tamei. So that means only that which you're not eating because it's an avela of a treifa, but not a crow, which you wouldn't eat anyway, because it's not kosher. So Mishi Yisroel Mishum Bal Tochal Nevela, but not this, where the Isser has nothing to do with Nevela. Ein Yisroel Mishum Bal Tochal Nevela, Ela Mishum Bal Tochal Temeya, which implies that there is no Isser Nevela. Why is there no Isser Nevela? Because Ein Yisroel Chalal Isser was already a crow. How did it also become renewed Isser? Because it's now a dead crow. What's the difference? So, but wait a minute. There's a simple way out of this. Maybe the gidanasha of a piggy is not considered to be any different than a pig skin wallet. It has no taste. So it's not going to be usher. And it's only because of gidanasha that's usher. So v'chitem v'kasavar ein begidin benotem tam. There's no usher chalom isher.
The only usher.
The only usher would be gidanasha. Where did he say you're going to be chayav too? So maybe he holds ein begidin benotem tam. And when he said it's noig b'tmeya, he meant there's only an iser gidon asher on a tmeya. So b'tmeya nami, it's iser gid and only iser ika. But iser tuma leka, nope, that can't be the explanation. Because we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not believe ein begidin benotei tam. How do we know that? We already saw it. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda ein begidin benotei tam. Does it not say v'atanya, ha'ochel gidon asher shabeimat tmeya, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev shtayim? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you get two separate malkiot. One for the Behema Tameya. Obviously, then it must be you're eating meat of a Behema Tameya, even though it's a gid, so then the gid obviously does have a taste of meat. Rabbi Shimon says you're potter, which we're going to question in a moment. What do you mean you're potter? You mean you're potter totally? We'll see. So now I'm really confused. So either you're going to run into a problem of Isser Chalal Isser, you know, or you're going to tell me there's only one Isser. But how in the world can you have two? No, it's not a problem. You're right. The only conserve yesh begidim in otem tam. And the reason that iser gid ischal is because the iser gid, Rabbi Shimon Shita, is that the gidanasha ischal when it's an embryo. And therefore, if he holds noig b'shlil, then the iser gid develops side by side with the iser tumah. So it becomes the same thing. And therefore, at what point was it only one and not the other? As it develops, it's a piggy's gidon asher. So it was usher because of pig and usher gidon asher at the same time. And therefore, forget about what you know, because the Gemara will ask it in a minute. Don't get confused. Take it step by step. Okay.
So two makes sense.
Yeah, so therefore two makes sense, because what's up becomes bevat achat, it's not a problem. So it's bevat achat. Wait a minute. But Rabbi Shimon was the one who said in the Mishnah that it's not noig b'shlil. Minka sabar Rabbi Shimon. Mimatzit amrit noig b'shlil. Vatznan noig b'shlil according to Tanakhama. That's the opening Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't no noig b'shlil. For God's sake. How can you explain that Rabbi Yehuda is the sheet that it says it is noig b'shlil? V'chalbom mutar. Yeah, hold on a minute over here. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say that it's not noig b'shlil? He was referring to a kosher animal. It's not noig b'shlil. Why not? Because the Torah said, kol b'avei matochelo. You shech the mother, you can eat anything in the mother. So that means that the fetus is considered to be a piece of meat of the mother. It's not considered to be a separate animal that has a git on the usher. As much as you can eat the mother's blood. Aval b'tmeah, in a tamei animal, I mean, you can't shech the tamei animal to make the fetus kosher. That would be noeg. Why would it not be noeg b'shvil? Since the only discussion over here is whether it's noeg b'shvil on a tmeah. So fine, sir, yes, but tmeah it is noeg b'shvil. No. You know what? You're drinking a cup. Even if it would be noeg b'shvil, you haven't answered anything. Because what's your assumption? That they develop together. The Isser Tumah and the Isser Git, we already know from the beginning of the parak that that's not true. That the protoplasm that is initially meant to be Git Anasha doesn't turn into a Git Anasha in the beginning of embryonic development. It's undifferentiated Basar, and it was Usser as undifferentiated stem cell at the time that it was part of the little piggy, and it wasn't yet a Git Anasha. When those cells differentiate into Git Anashas, you're trying to add an Isser over and above the original Isser. And I'll prove it to you. We know that we have a Mishnah that says, what's not? Remember, we started the parak with this. The Nazir has to shave if he was exposed to the following tumot. If he was exposed to a dead body. Or if he was exposed to one kezayit of basar from a dead body. Now, I mean, the first thing that strikes you as being absurd about that statement is why mention both? If even one kezayit bin amed, yes, bin galeach, why bother talking about exposure to an entire body? So obviously, lo koshike, and Rabbi Yochanan says, you see from here that you could have an entire dead body that doesn't have a kezayit basar. And what would that be? A fetus. So we're talking about a nefel. Look how he puts it. Shalonit kashru evarav begidin, which is still prior to the development of gidim, and therefore there's very little basar in that fetus, but nonetheless it's a complete body. So what do you see from there? That the iser tuma comes first, and only later on as the fetus grows. This is talking about a human fetus, but obviously the same idea is true about a piggy fetus. So then the gidan nasha comes later. So later on, this kashri for beginning, which means that Isser Tuma comes first. Okay, I got it. Forget about it. The whole approach was wrong. You're right, the Isser Tuma comes first. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Noeg B'shvil. We're not talking about anything. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though I forgot the Isser Tuma kodim, the Isser of Gid is chal on the Isser Tuma, even though it's not B'vat Achat. Why? Because Isser Gid Anash is more chamor than any other Isser. It's Noeg B'vnei Noah. That's what he must have meant in the Mishnah. Deikanami, look back now in the Mishnah and be a little bit more open to what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Deikanami Gdiktani. Om Rabbi Yehuda Ba'alomi B'nei Yaakov Ne'asar Gid Anash V'adayim B'emet Me'am Muteret Lam. What do you think? What kind of argument is that? That the meaning of that argument is that it was Noeg as a greater chumrah before the other Isurim are noyeg. Therefore, it's more chumrah than other Isurim. It has nothing to do with the historical record initially included piggies. That's not the point. What kind of argument is that? The argument is a technical argument. Since there was an Isur Gid Anasha prior to Kabbalat HaTorah, so that this means it's a more primal Isur. And a more primal Isur is going to be chal even on an existing Isur, which in this case is the Isur of Bema Tmei'ah, QED. B'nei Yaakov, yes, that we spoke. That's what he always means. Irana Shesh, Nidbar Shel, Im Makiro, why do you need to be Makiro? Lift over Ruba. Ah, Birya Shining. Chati Chashon Avela, why isn't it Bota Barov? Sanich Laman Yomer Kol Shadar Kolimanot Shanino, okay. But Laman Yomer Et Shadar Kolimanot Shanino is certainly a piece of swordfish. Is that Et Shadar Kol? Mike, Ikala Mema. No, that is another issue. And that is, Echaticha, O Ilvu Ruyalit Kabeit Balifne Orachim, is too harsh for me, but. Mitzricha. The Iyash mina Gid, we shouldn't be Birya here, and that's an objective thing, but a Chaticha imalo. On the other hand, Ashmina Chaticha, because it's important to me, it's all over Ruyalit Kabeit Balifne Orachim, Alvo Vigid imalo, Tricha. Dorash Rabba Barbachana, Chaticha Shanavila Vishaldak Tame, Ina Seret, Architite Tam Berota, Bekipa, Uba Chatichot, Rav, here's the Suki Rav Amar Lavadorash, No way. Given Jonathan Tamber Khatiha, Khatiha Tsmana, Sikh Navilavo, Sir Kolakhatihot Kulan, Mibnejain Mina. Formulator of Safala Baye, I don't get it. So then Mirfe Rav was going according to Alomra Shwaifsaka Rebuda. So what's the meaning of that first step? My Iriki Natan Tam to make it Khatiha Nasit Navela. Even without that, it was originally Min Bamina. So Kilona Tantam Nami. We're talking about a case where you were cut on Vasilko. Rav Amar, you don't have to come on to that. Afilotema lo cut on Vasilko. You still have to worry about Bittul of Tom. Why? Because in this case, you have min b'mino v'davar acher. V'chom min v'mino v'davar acher, saleket mino k'mi she'ino. V'she'ino mino rabba alav, umevat lo. No, ik betor Raveinu, no, ik betmeya, Rav Yudah, mir af betmeya, Rav Yudah, v'alom ibnei Yaakov, nesar gira nashev, adayim b'ima tmeya, buteret lehem. Omru lo, nech. Just because it's written there, doesn't mean it happened there. B'sinai ne'amaro, sh'nichta b'mekomo. So, Rav Yudah, s'chal al iser. V'tani Rav Yudah, omri yochot, ay nivla zov, tomi b'tam, b'gan, b'vita, b'li atam, b'lomar, nivela, v'tshifa, lo yuchal, l'tamava, mishi, s'ro, mishum, bal, tuchal, nivela, yotze, zesh, ein, s'ro, mishum, bal, tuchal, nivela, elo, mishum, bal, tuchal, t'meya, v'chit, ima, kasova, in, begidin, benotein, tam, u'betmeya, nami, iser, gid, ike, iser, tumaleka, not true. V'sov, Rav Yudah, in, begidin, benotein, tam, v'ten, yochot, gid, anosh, v'im, betmeya, Rav Yudah, m'chayv, shtayim, Rav Shimon Boter. Leolam Kasava Yesh Begidim and Otin Tam. But since he holds Neubishlil, therefore it's all Bevatachat. This is a Gid, this is a Tumor, Adi Dadikati. What do you mean he holds it's Neubishlil? He doesn't hold it's Neubishlil. Me much the time in Neubishlil, that's on Neubishlil, Rabbi Domrein and Neubishlil. The Kabbal Mutar. Ah, but that's only a kosher Shlil. Drachmanar Makol Bavimato Chelo. But a non kosher Shlil, why wouldn't it be Neubishlil? Bitmea Neubishlil. All right, even if you're right, you're wrong. Because we know that the cells are undifferentiated initially, and they're still osir, and then they differentiate into a gidan osir. But it's not. That's crazy. Why bother mentioning alamed kulo? Look, oshikain. Von Rav Yochanan, lo nitzcha ella, to an early stage of fetal development, where, dig this, lonit kashweva rab begidim. So apparently, in a human, you have first flesh, then gidim. The same thing is true in a piggy. So alma yisr tumah kadim. Okay, fine. Forget everything I said. Afagav yisr tumah kadim, yati yisr gidur chaylalei because of Rabbi Yudah Shita shken yisr anogim v'inoach. As a matter of fact, that was the whole point that he was making to the Mishnah. Dekanami, Dekani, Amber Rabbi Yudah. That's what he was coming to say. A more primal iser is a more halal iser. Why do you need to be makiro? Lift over ruba. Ah, bir yashayne. Why isn't it about the baro? Sanich laman yomer kol shadar kol limanot shenino. Okay. But laman yomer et shadar kol limanot shenino is certainly a piece of swordfish. Is that et shadar kol? Mike? That is another issue. And that is, Echaticha, Ho'il, Vuruya, Litka, Bebel, if Neorachim is too harsh, we bought. Mitzricha. The Iyash, we know, Gid, Mishum, the Birya, he, and that's an objective thing, but Echaticha, him alone. On the other hand, Ashmin, Echaticha, because it's important to me, it's all Vuruya, Litka, Bebel, if Neorachim, Alvo, Vigid, him alone, Tricha. Dorash, Rabba, Barbachana, Echaticha, Shun, Vila, Vishabdak, Tamei, Rav, here's this Uki Rav Amor Levadorsh. No way. Given Jonathan Tam Bechaticha, Chaticha Otzmana, Sit Nevelavo, Sir Kolo Chatichot Shulan, Bibne Shein Mina. Formulator of Safala Baye, I don't get it. So then, Mirfe, Rav was going according to whom? Alomra Shmaitsek and Rabbi Yudah. Domin Min Bemina Lobotel. So what's the meaning of that first step? My Iriki Natan Tam. To make it Chaticha Nasit Nevela. Even without that, it was originally Min Bemina. So Kilona Tantam Nami. Amalei, we're talking about a case where you were cut on Vasilko. Rav Amar, you don't have to come on to that. Afilotema lo cut on Vasilko. You still have to worry about Bittul of Tam. Why? Because in this case, you have Min Bemino V'davar Acher. V'chom Min V'mino V'davar Acher, Saleket Mino K'mi She'ino. V'She'ino Mino Rabba Alav, umevatlo. No, ich bin Torah, wenn du noch ich bin Tmeya, Rebbe, um Rav, bin Tmeya, um Rebbe, um Allah, mit Bnei Yaakov, Nesar, Gilan, Hashem, Adayim, Beima, Tmeya, um Buteret, Lehem, um Rulo, Nech. Just because it's written there, doesn't mean it happened there. Bissinai, Nehemar, Al, Shinichta, Bimekomo. So, Rebbe, it is a Chalal, is there? But Tanya, Rebbe, um Rebbe, Yaakov, Tanya, Nivlas, Of, Tomi, Betam, Bekan, Bebeta, Bliya, Tamad, Lomar, Nivela, Vetrifa, Lo, Yochal, Litamaba, Mishi, Surah, Mishum, Bal, Tochal, Nivela, Yotzez, Hashem, Surah, Mishum, Bal, Tochal, Nivela, Ela, Mishum, Bal, Tochal, Tmeya, Vechit, Ema, Kosova, In, Begidim, Benotein, Tan, Ubetmeya, Nami, Isser, Gid, Ike, Isser, Tumaleka, not true. Vesov, Rebbe, In, Begidim, Benotein, Tan, Boten Yochal, Gid, Anosh, Rebbe, Metmeya, Rebbe, Mechaiv, Shtaim, Rebbe, Shimon, Boter. Leolam Kasava Yesh Begidim and Otin Tam. But since he holds Noi Bashlil, therefore it's all Bavatachat. This is Gid, this is Tumah, Adi Dadikati. What do you mean he holds it's Noi Bashlil? He doesn't hold it's Noi Bashlil. Mimatz Tamar Noi Bashlil, that's on Noi Bashlil, Rabbi Romer, ain't a Noi Bashlil. The Chabon Mutar. Ah, but that's only a kosher Shlil. Drachman Armor Kol Bavay Mato Chelo. But a non kosher Shlil, why wouldn't it be Noi? Bitmea Noi? All right, even if you're right, you're wrong. Because we know that the cells are undifferentiated initially, and they're still osir, and then they differentiate into a gidan asher. But it's not. That's crazy. Why bother mentioning anamet kulol? Ella to an early stage of fetal development, where, dig this, Lonit Kashweva Rav Begidim. So apparently, in a human, you have first flesh, then Gidim. The same thing is true in a piggy. So Alma Yisr Tuna Kadim. Okay, fine. Forget everything I said. Avagav Yisr Tuna Kadim, Yati Yisr Gidr Chayalei, because of Rabbi Yerushita, Shikin Yisr Nogim Neinoach. As a matter of fact, that was the whole point that he was making in the Mishnah. Dekanami, Dekani Amber of Yehuda, Valom Ibn Yaakov Nesagin Anashe, Vadain Beimat Tmeyam Mutarat Lam. That's what he was coming to say. A more primal Isser is a more halal Isser. So today's daf is daf kuf. We're holding in some fascinating sugyas. And I think we were still on the last line of Tzadik Tesal Mbeji, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to examine on the next piece of the Mishnah, which says that in a case where you have Gid Hanosha that was Mitbashel with other Gidim, so then the question is, what about the Gidim themselves who are not marked with the Gid Hanosha? For some reason, it says that you have to throw out all the Gidim, and the Gidim are not both. The Rotev can be Mabat of the town, but the Gidim themselves are not both. That's more on the contrary. If you don't know which one is the Gid Hanosha, then the rule is that in a mixture where Tam is not the issue, so why is it a Batal Barov? Says the Gemara, because it's a Birya. And Birya is Shiny, and once you have something which is a self-contained Isser, a Birya is an organism. Well, it doesn't mean an organism in the same sense that we would normally use it. It's actually, we spoke about this earlier, while during those terrible days when you were missing, in which there's a machlokas how to define birya, where the birya is defined as the designation of the isser, whatever that is. This is the thing that's usser. So there's a big difference between ossering a gid, let's say, and ossering an avela, and avela is this is the thing. It's ossering an avela, whatever it is. A gid hanosha is a specific item. So birya, in that sense, would mean item. The other kind of birya is that it's something that is choshev enough as an isolated thing. So it could be an organ, an organism, and so on and so forth. But in any event, because it's a birya, we won't be mavatal at barov, which we would normally do. One of your magic tree pieces. Wonderful. Thank you. Now we get into the other problem,
Why does the Gemara, the Mishnah said the same thing about a chaticha shal nevela? I mean, you could tell me that it'd get on Rosh as a birya, but it says v'chein chaticha shal nevela. Also, the piece of nevela will not be bottle in the other pieces. Where it comes to the question of the rota, front there, you can have a bitl of the time. For some reason, the piece won't be bottle. On the contrary, says the Gemara, tibatil beruba, where you have two things, instead of a mixture, which you can't identify one or the other, the halacha is two to one is also, is mutar amid. So why can't you be mevatel the chaticha shel nevela and the other chatichas? So, hey, Nifalaman Yomer Kol Shadar Kol Limanot Shaninu. If you're going to tell me that we go according to the Man Yomer, you'll remember that we have a Shaila back in the Dinim of Bittul of Orla. Over there, there was a question. This came up many, many times. The idea of Kol Shadar Kol Limanot Shaninu, Es Shadar Kol Limanot Shaninu, we discussed. That over there, we say that something that is sold by unit is Choshev. And it's not bottle. So there were two ways of learning that. Does it mean a kosher darka limanos, anything that the derech is to sell it by unit? Or does it mean esher darka limanos, that it's uniquely sold by unit? So if you hold kosher darka limanos, okay, then you can say that expanse is enough to include even pieces. Say you could sell the number of hot dogs, if it's a number of pieces, maybe you could sell it by unit. But if you're going to tell me Eshedar Kalimanas, that only something which is absolutely everywhere sold by unit, and only that is not bottle, but something that you might sometimes sell, you know, by in the groups and so on, that's not kosher. You have not to be bottle, so why is a chaticha shel nevela not bottle? Michael Amema. Answers the Gemara, Shani chaticha helvu uyana hitchabed valifnei ha'orchi. There's something unique about a piece of meat. A piece of meat, because of the fact that it's kosher to you, to be able to give to a guest who comes to your home, because of that, it isn't something that can simply be lost in an aggregate. It has its own unique identity to you. And the whole point of bittul is that there's an aggregate. But where you require the individual identity of the piece, you can't possibly look at it and say, I don't note it in the aggregate. Of course you note it. It's there in order to feed the orchid. There's a machlokus about how literally to take this. Does it have to be roy to feed to an oreyach right now? What if it's ros? And it's not a katik ruyelist type of an orchid. There's an interesting question in Taisus about katik shel korban chatos. We're over there, Tais brings a raya that they are bottle. And we don't say that this far of Ru'yali is fabi. This is a very interesting thing. He says that it's not shayach to call lischabit lefnei orchim by a chaticha shel chatas. Why? Because another kohen that you would feed, a chaticha shel chatas, will not have any hakoras teva to you. He won't call that a kovet. Because he says, every kohen is the same. Chaticha shel chatas, you happen to have this chaticha, you give it a new big deal. I mean, it was mine anyway. So in other words, he's taking it so literally that really establishing the orchim is the chat that there will be some element of the interrelationship between you and the oreya. Therefore, it's chashuv to you, whereas the chaticha shel chatas is not. But in any event, we have two examples in the Mishnah. In other words, we have the gira nasha and we have a chaticha really established of different dinim of chatichas that are not bato, and in fact, the Mishnah has to tell us both of these dinim because clearly they come from different mikeres. And therefore, the Mishnah Tzricha needs to tell us two examples because Yashman and Gid. I said, okay, Gid is unique because it's a birya over there, and a birya is not bottle because in and of itself it's chashav, not because of the use that you intend to put it to. Avo katichai malo, I mean, a katicha is not defined in any particular way other than you psychologically being able to use it. On the other hand, Yashman and Katicha would say, well, in terms of bittul, you're not going to look at it as bottle because you need to identify it separately. So it's really shabibal of neorotim. But again, I mean, it's a technicality. It's a birya, not a birya, and what the heck do you care? Say, imalo, tzripe malo. Therefore, I would think maybe there's no question it would be bottle. Over there, I wouldn't say that it doesn't go into a tarotis. Therefore, tzricha, we need to have both of these examples. Now begins our masa yisurim. So we're going to get now into the serious issues of Taruva, the things that really come up all the time, and which all of the hakonas that we've done now sort of come together in this sukkah. So now, Lechora, it starts off rather easily. Dorash Rabba Bar Brachana, you have a chatikah shel Neveila, you have a chatikah of a dog Tomei, and it falls into a stew. Ve'eino Oseret, Achi Titein Tam Berota, Uvekipa, Uvechatichot. We've already seen this idea earlier, that we have to identify separately sauce, and that thick sauce that has it in actual pieces, and tavlin in it, and so on, which is called kippah, and chatichos. So if it falls into a stew, you don't say that, okay, after all, the Mishnah only spoke about the Gid HaNoshe in terms of the Gid versus the Yeret. Didn't say anything about everything else, so... No. That, as we mentioned earlier, as Tosfos points out, depends how you would learn the sugya that's coming up, and maybe it's talking about over there that it was sticking out above the kippah and the rota. We didn't put a top on the pot, so there's no circulation in the medium. But generally speaking, if you have something that falls into a stew, so then it's inside, it's on a chatikah that's in water. So there you can't just analyze the number of chatikot, see, okay, how much is there? Is there shishim? Because even if there's not shishim in the chatikot, there may be shishim if you include the gravy and you include the tavlin and so on and so forth. So when we talk about the iser of tam, it has to be a tam in everything. It has to go to the rota, the kippah, and the chatikot.
I'm assuming you can take it out even quickly.
We're going to talk about that question of taking it out. Yeah. But certainly you can't. You're not going to, as the Mishnah said, obviously the git itself is not going to become mutter. So then the veil itself won't become mutter. Now if you're left with a piece of the veil inside, and it's not a chatika realist cap, it'll be bottle one and two. The piece. Forget about the time. If it's chatika realist cap, it'll never be bottle. You have to throw out all the chatika. And you'll only be left with the soup. Because it's not realist cap. The what? Who? What did he say? Who said there's any mixture in there? It's not talking about fish and meat, but talk.
Fish is not common.
Dog tame in other dagim? Who knows what does it say with tame? It's two different cases. So now, anyway, we said before, Dog Tami, there's no Sakhana there. So Uki Rabba, more Rab heard Rabba Barbachana's drosh, he didn't like it. And Rab wanted to make sure that people didn't make a mistake. And he said, Kivan Shinatan Tam Bechaticha, Chaticha Tzman Asek Nivela, Yoser Kolachitoko Kula, Yopen Shein Mina. Now, this already is very disturbing. Once the first piece of nevela fell onto another piece of kosher meat, that piece of kosher meat became itself a. And the way that Rabbi Barbachana was darshaning, he made you think the only thing you'd have to look at was the piece of nevela. But that isn't true. Because if there was a way in which first a particular piece of meat would have been the kabbalah tam of the first meat, let's say that initially there was only one piece of meat there. The nevela falls in. And then we continue adding meat and so on and so forth. But meanwhile, there was a time in which the first piece of meat was makabel tam from the nevela that fell in. Or even if the original piece that falls directly on another piece, that piece is dovuk alav. It's close to it. And it first absorbs the tam before it will circulate throughout. Then you have to take into consideration that piece too. Because now that piece of meat itself became an avela because it became osir. And that isir is called, as we saw, chatikha naseh nevela. And once that happens, then all of the chatikhot will become osir mipnei shehin mina because they are the same min. Meaning, min b'mino apparently is not batil, so you can forget about whether there's any tam, because tam or no tam is no longer an issue. Now, this is an extremely confusing statement. First of all, it has in it an internal contradiction. The internal contradiction is, he says, kivan shenatan tam b'chaticha, which means that he's making it dependent on giving a taste. So in other words, he's not saying min b'mino is not batil. And then he turns around and says, once the tam is in the chaticha that was next to it, then it will ask all the chatichas because of min b'mino. So if it's because of min b'mino, then you shouldn't have section us on tam in the first place. But the whole thing is absolutely crazy. But you understand that this goes back and touches on that first fundamental machlokas that we've spoken about at great length. The concept of chaticha da'aseit mivela. We do understand, the Torah asks basar b'chalav, that the issur of basar b'chalav is not the chalav and not the basar. Both of those are kosher. The issur of basar b'chalav is the combined taste of basar b'chalav. You'll never say that because I had a drop of milk that fell into the meat, so now I can just add more meat. And I'll be mevatel the milk that was in that meat and a lot of meat. The whole piece of meat now was basar b'chalav. Now, on the contrary, the piece of meat that originally absorbed the taste of the milk, it's what's osur. It's not the milk in it that's osur, it's the whole piece. There's no question over there that by definition, basar b'chalav is chaticha na'aseis nevela for all intents and purposes. This is the thing that the Torah osur, in the same exact way that osur nevela. There's no question about it. And there would be a deraisa. The question that we had, and we've raised earlier, was, is that the case by all Isuri? The place where it first came up was the Yerach Shenizbash of Giran Lasha, in which Tosis was concerned by the fact that as you initially begin the heating process, before the medium has a chance now to draw out the taste throughout the entire pot, the area that's straight up against the Giran Lasha itself will be makabel the time of the Giran Lasha. And if you hold that once something has the time of Isser in it, it itself becomes awesome. And if that's true, then if you would eat a kezayas of it, you would be fired. Isn't that so? Eat one kezayas and you're fired. Now that we saw yesterday could be true about tam ki'ikar also. Except that when it comes to the question of tam ki'ikar, you would need to have a taruvas of a kezayas pechteachimus pras in order to be fired. But remember, the way the Tur Paskin we discussed last night was that one kezayis of a mixture that has tam ke'ikar in the proportion of one kezayis per achilas pras, which is either three beitzim or four beitzim, depending on like the Rambam or the other Rishonim, you would be chayav even on achilas kezayis. Here, we're not talking only about the issue of tam ke'ikar. Here, we're talking about a separate question, and that is whether once you have an issur in the chaticha, that chaticha itself becomes the essence of the Isser, now it will answer other chatichas, as if it's kuloi also. Not because of the tam that's in it. So we saw earlier there were a number of approaches why it is that the piece of meat next to the Gidan Nasha should not be included in what gives the Isser, if you hold chaticha nasis novel. So first of all, there was the shita of the Rabbeinu Ephraim, which the Rashba agrees, which we spoke about many times, who holds that there's no such thing as chaticha na'aseis nevela other than by basar b'chalav, to which the sugya seems to scream the opposite. I mean, Rav is saying it is a chaticha na'aseis nevela. Then there's another fascinating shita, which touches a sort of doka kala afriyad. He says, gosh, that's crazy. That's the shita of Rabbi Yezumi meets, who says, if you say chaticha na'aseis nevela, it's only when it's a chaticha. To talk about a case of a little bit of meat from within a chaticha that absorbs the taste of the Giran Lasha that is adjacent to it, and then that piece of a chaticha starts the rest of the chaticha, that is not such thing as chaticha nasis nevela. That's a joke. What's the svara of such a thing? In other words, he's taking chaticha nasis nevela seriously. And it's not just like some chumrah beyond, okay, this piece has the time in it. According to him, either it does taste like the nevela, in which case it becomes a nevela, or it doesn't taste like a veil, in which case it isn't a veil. What's enough to me on how big the piece is, or whether it's connected or not connected? Clearly, the sheet of Rabbi Ezra in me is that this is a chumra b'alma, so that once something absorbs the taste of something, if you start analyzing how much of it there is in it, we'll assume that basically the whole thing is filled with the tam of this. You have to be mishayer to negate the whole piece. Okay. Those were two approaches that we had earlier. Here, the question is how to look at this gemara. Now let us first, before we get back to the internal contradiction, basically the Gemara is going to discuss some aspects of that internal contradiction. Let's see now how the Gemara comes out, and then we'll get back and see what Rabbeinu Ephraim does with this sugya. Because in fact, The Rabbeinu Ephraim uses the internal contradiction to prove absolutely that we don't hold of Chaticha Nasis Leveila by other Isurim. And he says the moment that any Shafui person reads this and sees Kivan Shenatan Tam B'Chaticha, he immediately understands that we can't believe that there's a concept called Chaticha Nasik Neveila. If you would, what do we need the Tam for? Right, so we'll see in a moment. Now first let's take a look at the sukkah. Amalei Rav Safra Labayis, Rav Safra pointed out to Abaye, this thing doesn't make any sense. If you start off with the assumption that min b'minai is always us, and it will never be bottle, then what the heck is Rav talking about? What do you mean? Once it gives a taste into the piece, then that piece becomes an avela, and all the other pieces will become us because of Chaticha Nasis Avela and min b'minai. I don't understand. The first piece that fell in was also the same min as the other pieces. So why do we have to first transfer its taste to a second thing? And then the second thing is min b'minai. Why isn't the piece in avela min b'minai? What is this supposed to mean? Michli Rav Kaman Amar L'Shvaitzi. Who was Rav going according to over here? To Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that min b'mina lo batil. So then why is he saying, my arikina tam tam, why does he talk about giving tam into the first piece that the veil was cooked with? And it's not? Afilu kilona tam tam nami. If there had been no tam in that case, what do we need another case for? The nevela itself is a type of meat. The nevela fell into a pot of meat, and you hold meat, and you know it's not bottle, so then it's not bottle. If it tastes the same, if it doesn't taste the same, we'll see there's other sheep as a min b'mina. But let's take kipashkas that it tastes the same, and it's the taste is discernible. That's how we've been using it up until now, like I've been discerning. So if the taste is discernible, then it's min b'sheinu mina. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. How did we get this separate step of transferring the taste to the first piece that's in the mixture, and only then we get at the problem in b'mina? That makes no sense at all. So if you look, if you're talking about an avela being a min of butter, and even if there was no tam in the taste in the mixture, we already have min b'mina lo batel. Omar Lacy told him, no, the hachma is kinam b'shekadam v'silko. The question over here is, you went ahead and you took out, basically, the first mixture. And now, you took out the first piece that was there. Well, you'd have to take out the first mixture of the rotor as well. We'll see why we get into that. So now, all that Rav wants to say is, if the first piece of meat is that had touched the nevela is left, so then still everything is going to answer it. And that proves to us, or this is what Rav is coming to tell us, that you should know that Chaticha Nasis Nevela, and Rabba Barbakana was misleading you when he said you could start analyzing the number of pieces and so on. If there's another piece, then that piece itself is going to be us. Rav Arma. Rava says, hold on a second. There's something that's much more important than that to learn here. And that is that afilo tema lo kadam b'silko. The truth is that if not for that second piece, which had absorbed initially the piece, the taste of the nevela, and now it itself became nevela, I would have been able to be mavato, the taste of the nevela itself. You know why? Because in this case, since we're talking about a stew, we have essentially min mino v'davar acher. Now the rule is like this. If you start off, indeed, with another piece that's there, and then you would have poured in the sauce. Okay. At that point, you have to give you a shayer keneged all of the pieces that are there, because all of the pieces were makabel taste of chaticha nasis nevela. Let's assume. But over here, what happens is that you initially have a mixture, which is, you have a big soup, there's a stew, and you have also other pieces. So there's two ways of looking at it. You could say, well, hold on a minute. Min b'mino, all the pieces are usher. Now let's see if there's enough soup to be mavato all of the pieces. But the din is, we don't look at it like that. The rule is that when you have min b'mino b'davar acher, such as here, you've got soup, and you've got pieces of meat. And now, the rule is that kol min v'mino v'davar acher, Saleket mino kamisha eno. Take out the min, first of all. In other words, you don't use the other pieces to join the nevela, and you don't use the other pieces to be mevatel the nevela. Hold them out of the reckoning. Let's first see what the relationship is of the soup with its tablet and potatoes and so on and so forth. All the things in the soup can negate the piece that falls in. If there's enough in that to be mevatel the piece, then fine, we say that that piece is bottle, and now everything is okay. If not, so then you already have your problem of chaticha nazis b'veil and so on. But you don't have to physically remove the first piece in order to make an afkamina between Rav's case and Rabba Bar, in other words, the case where there was a second piece where there wasn't a second piece. Because what Rav is saying is that even if you hadn't been misalig that piece, there's still a tremendous afkamina. Because even though the first piece of nevela that fell in, if it hadn't given time to the other piece, would have ended up becoming bottle in a soup, it's only because there was initially a combination between the first two pieces that made the soup usher. And if it hadn't been for that initial combination, there would have been enough initially to be mevatel the first piece of nevela that fell in. Therefore, Rav is forced to talk about a case of, hold on, not so fast. You have to take into consideration what the initial circumstances were. So if the initial conditions had another piece together with this piece, and only afterwards you ended up adding the soup and other pieces, you'd have to take into consideration the first two pieces. And in that case, it wouldn't have helped you to say Salek Esmino Kamishenu because you didn't have enough to be Mavato two pieces. So therefore, pay close attention because Rabba Bar Bar Kana is very misleading. Now, we still, it's all very nice to say we've explained why it is that Rav had to speak about an additional piece. Right, okay, now I understand that. But you haven't explained to me why Rav had to speak about the additional piece in terms of giving a taste in the original piece, from the original piece. Nobody's even spoken about that. What Rav should have said is that if there were two pieces initially, who cares whether there was a taste in the piece, there wasn't a taste in the piece. Were the first two pieces min b'mina? Okay, so the second piece became an avela. Okay, the second piece became an avela. Now that I had more, I need enough connected the two pieces. What's an afkamina, whether it was a taste or not? Rav Lachitoso is going over here like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds it doesn't matter if there's taste, because min b'mina is impossible. So then why the heck did he begin talking about taste in the first place? There's nothing to do with taste. All he's trying to say is that if you have an incremental mixture in which initially you have two things which are similar to each other, then the first thing that wasn't bottle becomes the veil. That's all he should have said. Why does it not become bottle? Because it has a taste? No, because it's made bimino. And yet, Rav mixes us up completely by saying that kimachinatan tan b'chatiha, because there was a taste of the original piece in this chaticha, therefore it becomes nevela. Now that's the contradiction, that's an internal contradiction that no one here has addressed before. The Gemara has only spoken about what was the necessity of having the second piece. What difference does it make? If your old min b'mino is not bato, so min b'mino is not bato. I mean, so then the piece of nevela is min b'mino. Okay, so we have two very nice approaches to that. Either that the incremental makes a difference because in an initial mixture we can essentially hold the mino out of things, like Rava explained. Or we could say, you don't know that he actually went and physically took out the original piece. And now, therefore, he's coming to tell me the Chiddush that, okay, but still, if the non-original piece is there, then you're going to have to worry about the non-original piece. Good. That makes sense. But about the internal contradiction, there hasn't been even a hint that this bothers anybody. Okay, now based on this, comes along. Comes along Rabbein Ephraim and says, indeed, that's the whole point over here. That obviously, if he says that you would hold Hakitha Nasis Nevela because it's usher, because of a mixture, then to discuss the term is a little bit of a joke. The only way to understand Rav, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, is that Rav doesn't really hold Chaticha Nasis Nevela. What he's saying is this. If lemaisa you have, in other words, it's not the iser that makes something nevela. That's not the point. If you have a tam of the first piece in the second piece, since we hold that min b'mino is lo batel, it won't help you to get rid of the first piece because the tam is still in the second piece, and now that tam in the second piece, for all intents and purposes, acts as a nevela. Because it's still the first piece here. Not because it makes an akum. Remember, according to Rabba, holds that min b'mino lo batel. It doesn't really matter to us whether it's an avela because we're not analyzing how much of it there is vis-a-vis the other pieces. Because any little bit is an avela, correct? So all that Rab is trying to say is that since min b'mino is lo batel, once something absorbs the taste, which is the min b'mino taste, then that taste is going to now go along and answer the other chatichos because the taste is still here. He's not saying that the second piece itself is now in the vela. In the vela, you're going to need, let's say, 60 kinegadat piece, because he's not talking about how much you need kinegadat piece, you see. He's only talking about answering all of the pieces because of min b'minai. So clearly, says Rabbi Nefrayim, the very fact that Rav only discussed the din of chaticha nasis the vela when there was a taste in the second piece, it's clear that he doesn't mean literally chaticha nasis the vela. He only means that the absorption of taste continues to act as if the other piece is still here. And since min b'mino doesn't have any shiur, what's the dafka mina? You took it out. So what if you took it out? The taste is still here within this other piece of meat.
Taste necessarily different from the taste of the other meat. If it's min b'mino, they both
no,
have the same.
No, they both
taste.
Have the same, but the second piece of meat was kosher. Mm-hmm. So the point over here is, since there's the taste of the first piece, not the yisur, the taste of the first piece of meat, that's why he has to talk about kevet shenatzan tam b'chaticha. If he was only talking about the yisur, and chaticha natzis the veil is a function of yisur, it's not a function of taste, therefore, says Rabbi Ephraim, you see clearly he doesn't really mean chaticha nasis nevela. Because in terms of iser, min b'mino is us. So what is he saying over here all of a sudden? That kimut shenas on tam b'chaticha? Oh, that's the point. To say that min b'mino is us doesn't mean that it's going to us or other things. Because certainly nobody would say, except in Basar v'chola, that the actual meat now suddenly is transformed into iser. That's ridiculous. Why would it be transformed? It's not the mixture that's awesome. It's the part of the other meat that's in it that's awesome, not in itself that's awesome. So therefore, all that Rav meant to say was that the taste of the original piece is now assumed to be absorbed in the second piece, and therefore it's as if the piece is still here. It didn't do you any good to be misalik it. That's all that he's saying. Not because... What? Tom Kicker, but that doesn't tell us anything about the din of Tom Kicker, whether it's the rights or Rabbonin. I mean, we certainly proceed along the idea here that there's an issue of Tom Kicker, but the question is whether it's Meikar Adin or whether it's a Chumra Biyam. I mean, if we wouldn't know Tom Kicker, we wouldn't answer any Tarufis of Tom. Right? I mean, that's a given. We're discussing what the shear is of Tom Kicker. Min b'mino is a din in Iser, but it's not a din in the Vela. It's usher to eat it, but it itself doesn't become a chetz of iser. That you're going to be high of malchus now as if it itself is an avela. You go by our comparisons. No, in other words, you say, given that in a mixture in which this piece of meat would be represented by meat, and the usher, iser, and avela would be represented by onions, right, which was the case we did before, would you taste the onions in this piece of meat? So we can experiment if in this amount it would have given a tam. But certainly you have to come across with the tam the tatchila. You would have had that taste. Then you have to assume that here too was not some tam b'chatchila. Now the Rabbeinu Tam, who doesn't agree with the Rabbeinu Ephraim, so he's got a serious problem with this Gemara, because then this is an internal contradiction. So he has to be mefadish. But when you answer something with a kol shehu, even though it's usher, you don't say nasis nevela to answer other things on the basis of a kol shehu. A nasis nevela is when you have a serious amount of yisr in the other thing. That's a pretty tough kind of dochik to answer already. I mean, now it's no longer. But again, if we understand that we are not referring to an issur d'oraisa, that, by the way, there is a sheet that it holds that it actually would be a d'oraisa. But even those that hold it would be a d'oraisa are made that there would be no specific issur in the Torah, and therefore you wouldn't get malchus on it. It would be something like chatzi shir asur min haTorah. You can't do it, but nonetheless, you wouldn't get malchus. Now, in terms of the halacha, the Svardim, because of the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, and like the Rashba, that you don't say, and most of them, the Rambam learns this way also, there's no such thing as Chatichan Narasism available by other Yisrael. It's purely a din in Basur B'chalam. And indeed, this Gemara is meant to be learned like the Rabbeinu Ephraim. This is a unique case. Rav isn't talking about real Chatichan Narasism available. He's basing his whole din on Min B'mino not being Boto. And all he's saying is that as long as it tastes, is still around in a piece of meat, for all intents and purposes, you might as well have another nevela over here, because you still have the initial taste, and that initial taste in this piece is going to continue down out there anyway, even if you take it out. It's all he's saying. He's using a borrowed term when he says, Chatir Hasman has it in the veil. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch passes. Naturally, the Ashkenazim are machmir, and the Ramah passes, so we have to be machmir in a case of a mixture, and that Chatichat starts Nazis Nevela. However, Ramah himself is also made that this is only true where you have an actual absorption of taste. Now notice that there's a difference between an absorption of taste through cooking or a mixture of taste. Let's say that you take two different glasses of wine, one of which is Osir, and one of which is Mutter. You mix them together. So now you're going to say that this is a taruvas. It's not a taruvas of Tom Dicker, because there hasn't been any absorption of the taste of one thing in the taste of the other thing. They're two separate things. The point is, you can't separate liquids. So Mamela, you're going to always be tasting them together as if you're pouring both cups of wine into your mouth. That's called lach balach, you see. That's something we didn't discuss on Zomar. We discussed a mixture of yavesh for yavesh. We have a piece and other pieces, that's bottle baroque. We discussed the taruvas in which you have a transfer of taste from one thing to another, which involves us in the question of chatich. And only over there would you have the question of chatich anasis nevela, because over there the piece itself has changed, since within it, it has the flavor of something else. Mashenken, where you have lach, a mixture of two things that is indeed completely mixed. By the way, the din of lach, the lach doesn't necessarily mean a liquid. It means anything that acts like a liquid. Let's say you would have flour. Flour is mixed together. I mean, over there, for all intents and purposes, lach, the lach, because you have tiny fragments, they act in a liquid way, that you'll never be able to separate out one from the other. But there hasn't been an actual mixture of taste from one to the other, you see. Over there, Hachinami, perhaps we wouldn't say Chaticha Nazis Nevela, because there's no change in the Chatichas Heter. There's only a Taruvas. Okay, so far we have three different types of Taruvas, two Shitas of Gabi Chaticha Nazis Nevela, and this is reflected Halacha L'maisa in a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. How do we look at other Yisroel? Do they actually become Nevela? Whereas if they would actually become Nevela, we'd have to be Meshayer Kineged the whole thing. Of course, we haven't yet gotten to the questions la'alok about min b'mino being batal or not. Remember that Rashi holds that indeed min b'mino is not batal, which leads to tremendous chumras in Yisroel. Okay, that's Rashi Shita. The Rambam doesn't hold like that. And that we'll discuss when we get more into that subject. Noheg b'tehora ve'eino noheg b'tenea. Now, continuing on in the question of which animals are you chayav in the gid hanoshe, it says over here that the gid hanoshe is in fact a noheg in a behema tmeya and a behema tmeya, not in a tmeya. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says af b'tmeya, even a behema tmeya has a gid hanoshe. Now, there would be two issues involved here, right? First of all, there may be a fundamental issue of identification. Which animals did the Torah ask? Then, assuming that the Torah wasn't mechalek between which animals, there's another question. There's once an animal is usher, once it begins forming, it's usher because it's a chaser, let's say. So then when the din anasha forms, and remember that we already saw before that we will first have the formation of the undifferentiated cells of the animal that's tameh before the git differentiates out, so that we always view the git anasha happening later than the initial stem cells that from which it evolves in the embryonic development. That the Gemara again is going to use over here. So we have two questions over here. First of all, did the Torah mean to aser these kind of animals? And if it did, how was it chal? What about anus of halalism? So Rabbi Yehuda says, af b'tmeya. If you eat an animal that's tmeya, you eat the git anasha, you'll be chayav by the git anasha. Maybe you'll be chayav two. Maybe you'll be chayav one. Why do I say that? Because if ein v'gidim b'naisim tam, then when you eat the git anasha of the chazer, you're not eating chazer. It's no different than eating a pigskin wallet. It has no taste. And therefore you're not chayav for the bei matmeya. You'd only be chayav for the git. That's one possibility. There's really three issues that we need to take into consideration. Says Rav Yehuda, I don't understand you. How could you think that a behemoth tamei was not included in the git anasha? At the time of Yaakov Avinu, there was no iser behemoth tamei, so you could go ahead and you could eat the chazer. But it says, and that it means that they wouldn't eat the git anasha of the behemoth tamei that they would eat. So the Korah, that itself tells us that a git anasha was chal originally adayin beimet meyam muteret lehem. Amru lo, say the chachamim, come on, this pasuk al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael was said on Har Sinai. That's b'Sinai ne'emar. But Moshe Rabbeinu now was nichtav b'mekomo. Since the Yisrael later that it said on Har Sinai was b'nei Yisrael, so al kein, what's the basis of that Yisrael? So at the time that the event occurred between Yaakov and Esau, we put in the explanation, Al-Kain lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael git anasha, even though that was said really in Har Sinai and not at the time. That's the way most learn.
The Yisrael of Gid only began at Sinai?
Yeah, that's where most understand the Chachot. The Rambam Kedarkas explains consistently, he's so marvelously consistent, it's just such a pleasure. Explains, there's no machlokas about whether B'nai Yaakov ate the git anasha or not. The point is that we are never, the Rambam makes a very big deal about this because it's central to his entire philosophy. Remember that according to the Rambam, we are not bound by any religion other than what was witnessed on Har Sinai. Because everything else, we don't trust prophets, we don't trust miracles, we don't trust traditions, we don't trust anything. If we saw something on Har Sinai, that's what we trust. If on Har Sinai we were told to trust the Navi, fine, we'll trust him, not because we believe in him. As far as we're concerned, he's a Meshuggah that has all kinds of crazy dreams. What can you do? God says if he proved himself in particular ways, you're supposed to listen to him. I listen to him. Same way I listen to two witnesses, says the Rambam. But I believe the two witnesses, what do they know? I mean, we know how ridiculous memory is. Torah said that's the way you have to proceed in terms of dinim. Proceed in terms of dinim. This is the Rambam Shita throughout. Therefore, says the Rambam, on this mission of Yerusha Mishnayas, pay close attention to what is being said over here, says the Rambam. Because what the Chachamim are saying is, who cares whether they ate a Gid Anasha or they didn't eat a Gid Anasha? What does that have to do with us? We are bound to the dinim of Gid Anasha only because of what happened on Har Sinai. Therefore, our Gid Anasha is not their Gid Anasha. So who cares about the fact that when they had an issue get on Usher, it would be chal even on a behemoth tamei? What does that have to do with the mitzvah that we were given on our Sinai? Therefore, even when we have mitzvahs that were given before our Sinai, such as Mila, says the Rambam, we don't give Mila because God told Abraham to give Mila. What does that do with us? What, a family tradition? We don't keep mitzvahs because of family traditions. We keep Mila because Moshe Rabbeinu said we have a chiyuv to Mila. That chiyuv of Mila, of course, is an expression of the bris that was made with Avram Avinu. But it's not Avram Avinu's Mila. It's the Mila that was given on Har Sinai. The same thing he says consistently, Lagabe, the Chassidei Yom HaZayimah. If the Chassidei Yom HaZayimah are going to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, why are they going to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach? Because they have a family tradition? That's totally meaningless. That's garbage. That's religion. We don't believe in that kind of nonsense. See, even if they would keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, it wouldn't mean anything. They wouldn't get Olam Haba for that. They have to keep Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach because they know that it was given on Har Sinai, and therefore it's realistic and meaningful. If they keep it for other reasons, because of tradition and so on, that is not the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep. That's just your own projections. Your own projections get you nowhere, even if they happen to be analogous to the things that were said on Har Sinai. The Mela, according to Rama, is a completely different Pirush in the Mishnah. According to Rama, the Chachamim aren't saying to Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't keep the Gidon Asher. Of course they kept the Gidon Asher, like the Pashas and the Pasek. It's only saying what they kept is not what was said in Sinai. There were two separate questions over here. And what was said in Sinai is the only thing that's binding. And therefore, why would it apply to a Bein HaTmeah? Now, let's take a look in the Gemara a little bit of what's going on beneath the surface over here. First of all, our problem is, how do you get an Isser Gidon Asher if you already have an Isser of Tuma? I thought Rav Yehuda doesn't hold Isser Chalal Isser. Ask the Gemara B'Sava, Rav Yehuda, Isser Chalal Isser. Let's even say the Torah meant to Asser Gidon Asher of Bein HaTmeah. Technically speaking, it can't be Osir, because it's already Osir, as the Bein HaTmeah itself is Osir. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, Yochol te'eni v'lat of tamei mitamei begadim bebeit habliyah? You might think, we know that the nevela of an of tahor, say the chicken that wasn't properly shechted, you eat that chicken. At the moment that you swallow that chicken, you and your clothing become tamei. But if you touch it, there's no tumah in it. Now, a nivlas of tame is not like that. If you have a bird that starts to have an eagle, a dead eagle, over there, if you touch it, it's an avail and it'll be matame you. If you swallow it without touching it, and somebody else picks it up and sticks a piece in your mouth, so there's never any magia on the outside surface of your body to be transferred to mevamaga, you will not be makabel tume at all. So here Rabbi Yehuda says, you might think that a nivlas of tame would also be metame to the garden that you're wearing as you swallow it, the bit of liya. Talmud Lomar, nivela v'trefa lo yochal letap aba. That which is aser mishum nivela v'trefa, you will become tame in eating it. Mishi yisro mishum bal tochal nivela. Yatsa ze she'in yisro mishum bal tochal nivela. Mashen king eating an eagle that's dead. It's not because of the yisro nivela. It's mishum bal tochal tameya. Because you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird. And if he would hold that the din is that Isra is halal Isra, so why isn't there also an Isra Nevela on a dead eagle? You see, he holds because the eagle was already Isra. So it's not shayach to call it an Nevela. Since it's not shayach to call it an Nevela, there is no longer any tuma on its goof. Fine. Now, maybe you'll say, hold on, it's a simple solution. The gid doesn't have any taste, and therefore it's not usher as chazer. Comes along out of the Torah to say, it's not usher, I'll say it's mayah, but it's usher because the gid on usher. And maybe that's the point that Rav Yehuda is making. Not that you're chayav two things, but that you're chayav only mishum gid on usher. So if a chitim, and maybe you'll say, he also ain't begidin benotein tam, and therefore, bitmeya nami yisr gid on usher ika, yisr tumaleka. That Rabbi Yehuda holds there's only an Isser of Gidon Asher, not an Isser of Bein HaTmeah. Therefore, we don't get into the problem of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Is that true? The Sover of Yehuda ain't the Gidon Asher Tom. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? But Tanya Ha'och of Gidon Asher Shal Bein HaTmeah Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Shtayim. It says Beferish Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev twice. Once for the Bein HaTmeah and once for the Gid. So obviously he holds. Yesh begin of the nice and time. Otherwise, why am I chayef for Bein HaTmeah eating a gid any more than I would be chayef for chewing on a pigskin wallet? So it must be that that's not the solution. Rabbi Shimon passes completely, which we'll talk about later. Therefore, you're going to have to say, Le'elam Kasava, Yesh begin of the nice and time. Why then does he say that you're, if he doesn't hold the Visser Chalal Isser, why does he say you're chayef Shtayim? I'll tell you. Because Kasavar Nayad Bishamil, he holds that a Gidon Asher is Asher even on a fetus, which of course we're going to scream about in a minute, because he's the sheet that says it's not Nayad Bishamil. Okay. But he holds it's Nayad in the fetus. And since it's Nayad in the fetus, then as the fetus develops, it develops simultaneously, which we're also going to scream about in a moment, because we know it doesn't develop simultaneously, that first you have undifferentiated cells, and later on they become differentiated. But that we'll ask later. Therefore, the Yisr Gid and the Yisr Tuma come about simultaneously, Bari Adarikasi, there's no question of Yisr Chal Alis. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean he holds it's Noeg B'Shulio? Mimotis Amit Noeg B'Shulio? How can you say such nonsense? But none. We have a Beferish of Mishnah Noeg B'Shulio. And Rabbi Yudaimer ain't a Noeg B'Shulio. We're called Bo Mutar, okay? What are you playing games? No, hold on a second. What are we talking about? Talking about a Chai. The only reason Rabbi Yehuda said that the Gid HaNosh is not Noeg B'Shulio is because the Torah said, Kol Baveima Tochelu. And you're allowed to eat a fetus with whatever is in the fetus. But that's only a fetus that you're allowed to eat. Not a fetus you're not allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat the fetus of a Chazer. So the same way you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat its Gid. That's all that we meant that it's Noeg B'Shulio. So there, it says, when it comes to Behema Tahira, since the Torah said, Kol Behema Tochelu, so that pasuk is being Marba, you can eat even the Gid HaNosh of the fetus, or even the Chelev of the fetus. Fine. But by a Tumeya, the Torah never said, eat whatever is in the uterus of a Chazer. Never said such a thing. So there, of course, the Yisroel would be Noeg. Yes, it's Gemara, okay, fine, but it still doesn't help you. Because the cells don't differentiate into a Gid HaNosh simultaneously with becoming a Behemoth Tamea. But still, we had proof positive from the Mishnah, if you recall, that that's not true. Because as we had before, a Nazir who's only Megaleah consumes Meis, and has to restart his Naziris after going through the process of Tahira and the Karbonis and his Naziris Tameh. It's only on an actual exposure to a mace or a Kazayas Minah mace. So at that point we said, look, this mission is a little bit redundant. I mean, if you even a Kazayas Minah mace is Metame, what do you have to say? The whole mace is Metame. Al Kazayas Minah mace Megaleah Kala mace Kula Lo Koshe Kain. And Rabbi Yochanan explained, and this explanation is absolutely essential. There's no other approach. That when you have such a undeveloped fetus, in which you don't even have yet any developed nervous system, and therefore there's not even a Kazayas Basar in the entire body of this fetus, in such a case, you can still be metame al hames. The entire fetus will be metame, even as long as I have been hames. So it's got to be talking about a case where such a thing is possible. What we see in Rabbi Yochanan's description of the reality of this, that in an early fetus, you don't have a differentiated sciatic nerve. So that means that cells that were initially undifferentiated now grow into a sciatic nerve. If that's the case, then you always have the Behema Tamea Isser first on those cells before they become a Gid HaNosh. So then how do you ever have the, even if they're developing in a fetus, they don't develop at the same time. They don't develop at the same time. You're always going to have the problems of Isser Chalom. What are you going to do about that? Brilliant. Love it. So that won't help. Alma Isser Tuma Kadi. So you see that the Isser Tuma comes first. Ah, says the Gemara, true. But Alpha God, the Yisr Tuma Kadim, even though the Yisr Tuma comes first, in this particular case, Rabbi Yehuda holds Yisr would be Chal al Yisr. And Yisr Gid would come along and would be Chal, because the Yisr Gid is Chamur. Shekein Yisro Noheg Bivnei Noah. Since it was Chal already before Matan Teira, therefore it's more Chamur. Deikanami! I mean, isn't that what Rabbi Yehuda essentially is trying to say in the Mishnah? Diktani Om Rabbi Yehuda Ba'alov Yivnei Yaakov Nesa Gid HaNasher V'adayin Be'imat Me'am Muteret Lehem. So since the Svar of Rabbi Yehuda requires the access to the issue of Bnei Yaakov, because otherwise it doesn't really mean very much. And obviously it comes along to Teher now, like the Chachamim are saying, redefines the Yisr. But the point is that the yisur was noyeg earlier, therefore it's a tchomer. Mamela, don't give me that there's a problem of yisur chalal yisur. That's not the problem. You have to make up your mind whether there was a determination in the Torah to us or all types of animal. Why not? Where does it say otherwise? Don't eat a gid on usher, don't eat a gid on usher. Goof. Ha'ochel gid on usher, shabay mat mea, Rabbi Yonah Mechayev Stein, he said, Rabbi Shimon Poter. Why is Rabbi Shimon Poter? I mean, Luman of Shuk. If the old sister is Chalal Isser, let him be Mechayev for both. Chayev Namim Shum Gid. If he also ain't Isser Chalal Isser, let him at least be Mechayev for the Behemoth Mea part, because that comes first. And if he holds Ein Beginim B'nais in Tam, so then you're back again to be Mekayim on the Gidon Asher, because then there was no Isser Tuma first, because Ein Beginim B'nais in Tam, and you're left only with the Isser Gid. So then let him say Ein Beginim B'nais in Tam, then let him be Mekayim Mishum Gid. Explains Rava, the whole Yisod of here is not dependent, it's not about Chokas in Isser Chalal Isser. It's not a machlokas about yesh beginim and eis in time. It's a machlokas in the innate description of the animal that the Torah meant to answer in the first place. Omar Rava, liyolam kasova ein beginim and eis in time, and indeed there's no problem of Isser Chalal Isser, and you're asking, so why isn't the Gidon Asher, which is eitzu, as Ula said before, it's eitzu, the Torah asked you to eat it even though it's tasteless? Because the pasuk says, "Alkein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael et gid hanasher." What does that tell you? Mi shegido asur b'saro mutar. It's where the non-eating is because it's a gid hanasher, and otherwise I would have eaten it. Yatztazu shegido asur b'saro asur. It's telling me that the animal out of which I am not eating this gid hanasher would be the only part I'm not eating. If I'm not eating the whole darn animal, then there's no Isser of not eating the Gidon Asher, even though that Gidon Asher is not included in the Isser of the animal itself. But I'm not eating this animal, the klal, not the meat, for another reason. So, okay, so I'm not eating the meat anyway, then there's no Isser to chew on the bones, or to chew on the Gidon Asher, for that matter, because in the beginning of the next time, the Torah never asked this piece. So, Mamela, mi'ikar hadin, not because of any Chalal Isser. There's another issue over here. So basically, in order to determine whether the Gidon Asher is behemoth mea oriented as well, we need first of all to define what the nature of the Isser is. Does it distinguish, as Rabbi Shimon claims, between the behemoth and the Gid? And then we have to also decide for ourselves whether we have a problem with Isser Chalal Isser, even if you don't hold of that, which involves us in the question of Yesh B'Gidim B'Nais in Tam, of whether it's Noyeg B'Shlil in a Behemoth Tamea, of whether a fetus, the embryonic development includes simultaneously the Basar and the Gidon Asher, and whether you hold of an Isser Chomor because it's Isser is Noyeg B'Nais in Tam. So we have rich veins.